A permit violation by a local heliski company is referred to the Department of Justice, and a regional Native council suffers the effects of federal sequestration. It's the KHNS Local News. I'm Margaret Friedenauer. Those stories and more up next. Alaska State Troopers have completed and closed the investigation into a March 3rd incident that killed a snowboarder and injured two skiers while on a heliski trip. But another element of the incident, that the company conducting the tour was operating on federal land without a permit to do so, is still under investigation. Christian Cabanella died from injuries when he fell several hundred feet after a cornice failure near Garrison Glacier. Another skier fractured his hip, while a third suffered several broken ribs, a broken scapula, a punctured lung, and a shattered femur. Trooper Tim Burt arrived in Haines the day after the incident to investigate and conduct interviews. He compiled the following sequence of events from interviews with those in the skier group or others that responded. The group consisted of three skiers and two snowboarders. The men considered themselves experienced, and three were current or former professional guides. The group scouted and decided on a run near Garrison Glacier in the Upper Kicking Horse Valley. The run is estimated at a 60-degree slope and is considered an expert run. But the run has been skied before by groups skiing with Southeast Alaska Backcountry Adventures and is actually named after one of the men in the group that day who had skied with SEBA for several years. After being dropped off a ridge, one of the skiers told troopers the guide warned the group to stay away from a specific edge of snow because of the obvious cornice. What wasn't apparent is how far back the cornice reached. They chose a drop-in point that looked a safe distance from the cornice. However, before they were able to drop into their run, the skiers heard a noise they identified as snow collapsing. Four skiers in the group were caught in the collapse and fell down the slope. The guide of the group told troopers the crack in the snow ran between his feet. The snow collapsed under his right foot, but he was able to stay upright on his left foot. After the collapse, the guide radioed the helicopter for assistance. He then dropped into the run to assist the other skiers. Another helicopter brought additional guides to the scene. None of the skiers were buried in snow. A guide brought to the scene by another helicopter located Cabanella, who was unconscious and did not have a pulse. The guide began CPR. Cabanella was the first of the injured to be transported to a waiting helicopter. He was flown to the Haines Airport and then transported to the search clinic where he was pronounced dead. The other injured skiers were also transported to the airport, then to the clinic. One was flown to a Juneau hospital and the other to Harborview Medical Center in Seattle. Two of the skiers were wearing ABS airbags, a device that attaches to a skier's backpack and is designed to keep the person above the snow in an avalanche. The skiers wearing those airbags told the trooper they were able to deploy the bags during their fall. Both skiers were also wearing helmets. One of those skiers received no injuries. The other was the more severely injured of the two injured skiers. Two of the skiers, including Cabanella, were not wearing airbags or helmets. The guide was wearing a helmet. The run had been used several times in the past years by SEBA, although it was the first time this season it had been skied. Trooper Burt closed the case as a non-offense incident, meaning he determined Cabanella's death did not stem from any criminal cause. A few weeks after the incident, SEBA identified the GPS coordinates of where the incident occurred. It was discovered the area, while inside the boundaries of the Haynesboro heliskiing map, are also just inside land managed by the Bureau of Land Management. Commercial guiding companies must have a permit from BLM to operate on that land, but BLM has not issued any land use permits for the Haines area since 2007, while the agency reviews the Ring of Fire management plan. BLM said Thursday they have referred the case to the Department of Justice. BLM spokesperson Aaron Curtis said in March the agency would only do that if the company was to face possible criminal penalties for the permit violation. The Department of Justice on Thursday said they have not yet opened the case or made any determination on it. The Tlingit and Haida Central Council expects some hits from sequestration. President Ed Thomas told delegates about projected cuts during the council's recent tribal assembly in Juneau.
I think pretty much across the board, we're talking about a 5% negative impact. Nobody has come up with anything less than that.
He says a cut would take about $1.3 million out of the council's approximately $27 million annual budget. The federal government provides much of the funding. Council programs provide vocational training, public safety, family and youth services, and tribal courts. The Tlingit and Haida Central Council also uses interest from an approximately $11 million trust fund. But President Thomas says the earnings need to be saved.
All in all, we can't keep spending the interest and expect to survive for the long term. We have to have at least inflation proofing. And the only way to do that is to live within our means, not do things that cost money that we can't pay for.
The Juneau-based council represents more than 28,000 tribal members in Alaska and the lower 48. The tribal assembly voted down a proposal reducing the number of voting delegates by about 20%. Rules require one delegate per 150 tribal members. A proposal from Thomas would have only counted members with active addresses that establish their residency. Thomas says it's a problem in bigger cities.
Seattle and Juneau have the largest number of delegates and the largest number of people that we have bad addresses for.
April's tribal assembly was the council's 78th. It was held in the Elizabeth Petrovich Hall in downtown Juneau. This is the first full cruise season under rules requiring ships to use more expensive, low-sulfur fuel. Industry officials fear the new standards could stop or reverse Alaska's recent cruise ship traffic growth. The rules kicked in last August near the end of the season. They cover sailings within 200 miles of U.S. and Canadian shores. More than 1 million passengers are expected to cruise state waters this year. Alaska Cruise Association President John Binkley says schedules are set for 2013 and much of 2014, but the industry may consider changes after that.
The biggest impact, though, will be 2015. That's when the sulfur fuel requirements go to a level that's 10 times lower than it is today, and that drives up the cost even further.
The Federal Environmental Protection Agency imposed the rules, citing harmful air emissions that can cause respiratory problems. Cargo carriers such as barge lines must also follow the rules, and some already do. Alaska officials say the state will be disproportionately affected. They've sued to block enforcement in state waters. A federal judge has not ruled on the case. Meanwhile, the first ships of this season have begun arriving in Alaska. And now with our weekly essay feature, Small Things Considered, here's local writer Jeannie Kitayama.
My husband came up with the idea that he should write a book entitled How to Raise Kids Without a Clue by Adults Without Kids. Of course, all our friends without kids agreed and had plenty of input to offer. What do we know about raising kids? Well, of course, collectively, we think we know all about how it should be done and which kids we like to be around. Do little kids realize how they can crumple older folks with their young smiles? And it's over the top when that little one actually says your name. Well, I'm there. And I've personally witnessed the grumpiest of folks recrease those frowns into smiles when a cute little one gives them special attention. And aren't all those little humans just so cute, so innocent, and maybe so wise? When I was teaching at Klukwan, I was chatting one day with Tlingit Elder Joe Hotch while the class was outside for recess. We could see them all running around and having fun. He said to me, "We have a lot to learn from them. If they get mad at each other, look how quickly they get over it." As always, Joe's words are wisdom that I try to hang on to. We may try the New Age stuff of being present in the moment, but really, those kids have that down. And the younger they are, the wiser they are on that account. So what is it about babies and little ones that humbles adults into that goo-goo-ga-ga talk? Scientists or sociologists probably have their 2 cents on that. My adult with no kid thoughts? I think that that connection is innocent. No underlying agendas. If that little one wants to give you a smile, you must be making him happy, or at least entertained. And in turn, that makes adults happy too. My point here is that we're hooked, no matter how grumpy we might feel. When kids give me attention, I feel special. They are just so straightaway honest that you know there are no hidden agendas, no deep-seated meaning. It's just a happy moment. So for those of you with children, I appreciate those moments. When you share your children's lives with me, I feel quite privileged. There's one young gal at school who may not realize it, but her smiles always make my day. Those of us without children are never going to experience the complex joys and trials of raising kids. But we love the cream on the top, the connections we make that fill our lives and our hearts for those fleeting moments.
That was Jeannie Kitayama with our weekly essay feature, Small Things Considered. If you live in Haines, Klukwan, or Skagway and would like to take part in this weekly feature, please contact us at news@khns.org. For KHNS Local News, I'm Margaret Friedenauer. Special thanks to Ed Schoenfeld for help with this report, and thanks for listening to your local news on KHNS. We appreciate your support. KHNS News is your connection to relevant issues and happenings in Haines, Skagway, and Klukwan. But we're more than just your local news. We also collaborate with other Southeast public radio stations to keep you informed of regional issues that affect us locally. We bring you these wider-reaching stories along with local news to help our community make connections here and beyond. We do our best to keep you informed, enlightened, and entertained. And we couldn't do it without your support. Thanks for making KHNS News your news.